Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are thrilled. We're continuing to socially distance ourselves from our wonderful guests. And so we have on the phone with us today someone I'm very anxious to talk to. And I know that she's very, very busy. So this makes me so pleased that you were able to take time for us. We want to welcome the chairman of the Hastings Public School System School Board, Kelsey Waits. How are you?
I am doing all right. How are you today?
Well, I'm great. Kelsey, we are chatting it up, and I know you have so much stuff going on. But first of all, as a mom, how is it going? You have two kids, I know.
Yep, it is. It's going about as well as you would expect. We had the benefit that last week was spring break, so we were already anticipating having two kids home. Having the zoos and museums closed and all of those sorts of gatherings was not quite what we expected. We've already celebrated a kid's birthday while socially distancing now.
What does that look
like? Disappointing for
right.
a now seven-year-old who was really looking forward to celebrating, with friends at school, but we'll figure it all out.
We will figure it all out, okay. Indeed. Right.
We're all in the same boat, so I get it.
You just mentioned school, and you are the chairman of the Board of Education for the Hastings Public School System. Probably in your wildest dreams, never thought that you would have so much going on at the same time, right?
Yeah, this is a lot right now, and that's okay. I'm up for the challenge, and I really enjoy doing what I can for the community, and so I'm happy to be able to do this. And we just make it work. You know, my family and I, we're making it work. My kids are in another room right now so that I can talk to you without being poked.
Well, and if they make sounds, no worries. We're all in this together. We're just grateful for your time. Kelsey, I know you guys have been really working overtime, not only on the school board, but also the teachers. And you do have some great news as far as the search for the superintendent. I know you had a real definitive timeline, and I'm just amazed that you're able to keep all of these dates firm.
Yeah, and we've really tried to do that. We wanted to make sure we kept our schedule, let people know that we were still here, we were still doing what we needed to do, and we were still committed to all of the things that we had said we would be committed to. And things are looking a little bit different. You know, we're doing Zoom meetings. We're probably going to be having virtual interviews and things like that, but we are working to make it work. And we want to make sure that we still maintain all of the pieces that we initially had set up in our superintendent search process. And so we are committed to finding ways to do that, however creative we need to be in order to make that happen. So last night we had a meeting to determine our six semifinalists for the superintendent position, and we had a fantastic pool of applicants.
How many did you have?
We had 25.
Wow.
And we had come up with some criteria beforehand on what we were looking for in a superintendent, and that criteria came from school board and also from some of the community conversations that MSBA had had with community members, as well as the survey that we had done online with community. And so that's really how we came up with our criteria. And then those criteria were used in order to determine who these semifinalists were. It was a really incredible pool.
And that was something that was done blindly, is that correct?
Well, the school board was aware of the names of all of the candidates. But in public meetings, we referred to them in alphabetical terms. So we have candidate A, candidate B, and things like that. And so it's kind of a fine line between having an open meeting and maintaining open meeting laws, but also maintaining data privacy laws. And so that's a way for us to still discuss candidates without giving out private information.
So everything you're doing is going to be public?
Correct. Yep.
So how did it shake out? So from the 25, did the company, the search firm that you used, did they whittle it down to six, or did you do that?
So MSBA, the Minnesota School Boards Association, is the group that we're using with this. And so they had their top six choices that they had decided. They had a group of people, five people, who went through all these applications, and they came to consensus on six names. And so they brought those six names to the school board as recommendations. And then last night, we were able to take those recommendations and say whether or not we agreed with them, and then say if we wanted to bring in applicants that MSBA had not recommended. And so we took four of their six recommended, and then we brought in an additional two. We swapped two for our own choices.
Well, you came up with six wonderful people that are, you know, vying for this position. Do you want to give our listeners a little bit about each person?
Yep, I can give you their names and their current position and school district that they're in.
Thank you.
If that sounds good. So first up, I'm doing these in alphabetical order by last name. We have Rev Hillstrom, who's the Director of Educational Equity for Osseo Area Schools. We have Robert McDowell, who is Assistant Superintendent of Stillwater Public Schools. We have Sarah Paul, who is Assistant Superintendent in White Bear Lake Area Schools. We have Jeff Peshta, who is currently our Interim Superintendent. We have Jeffrey Riddlehoover, who is Assistant Superintendent at Moundsview Public Schools. And we have Mark Zuzik, who is Superintendent of Intermediate School District 917.
So some of those names, obviously, we are familiar with. What are the next steps then?
So we are starting interviews on Monday, and we will be interviewing three candidates on Monday, and we'll interview another three candidates on Tuesday. And then after we finish the sixth interview, the school board will deliberate, and we're going to decide on our three finalists based on those interviews on Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I will be conducting reference checks. And on Thursday, we will have final interviews. And this is all next week. And so on Thursday, not only will the school board be doing interviews, but we are going to have a staff forum where there's staff members, there's representation from each of the bargaining groups on this forum, and they'll be able to provide their feedback to the school board. And then we'll also be having a community forum, and we're working on how to live stream that so that people can give their feedback. And so anyone who has watched all three of the candidates do their interviews can give feedback to the school board, and we will get that before we make our decision.
So that's great. And what is the vehicle that you're going to be using? Do you know yet?
No, we are working on all of that right now and just getting it all figured out. I mean, even before then, though, if people would like to participate, then they can go onto our website where there's the superintendent search, and you can click that. And at the very bottom of the page, there's a link to click to where you can submit questions that you would like to be asked at the community forum.
That's great. Thank you. We appreciate that. That's wonderful. So your timeline is tight, and you're going to make it work. And so is it fair that perhaps by, you know, a week from now, or maybe the following week, you will have someone named?
We are hoping to have our superintendent chosen. The school board would make a decision Thursday, and then we would begin figuring out bargaining contracts from there and see if they agree with, you know, what our offer is.
It's a wonderful process, and I bet it's really an honor for you to be part of this.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I'm really excited, even more so than myself being a part of it, that we're really working to figure out how the community can be involved in this. And so when we did our online survey, we had almost 600 people submit surveys, and MSBA was blown away. They had never seen that many surveys turned in. Typically,
really?
They only get about 100 responses.
Wow.
And so their next highest before us was a little over 300 survey responses. Mm. And so, I mean, we blew all of their records out of the water. And to me, that meant a lot, knowing that the community really wanted to be involved and participate in this. And so we really want to make sure that we continue to give those opportunities moving forward.
Well, I just think that really says a lot about the community and how really engaged in so many different aspects around the city that people are. That's wonderful, Kelsey. That's just great. So moving forward, you have that, and then the new superintendent will officially start, is it July 1st?
Yes.
Okay. So lots going on in that regard, and we hope that you keep us in the loop about how
Absolutely.
That all shakes out. That's wonderful. So let's talk about the other thing that I know you were knee-deep in the last couple of weeks, and that's really putting together all this distance learning stuff. But I got to tell you, I am so, so impressed with just how buttoned up it seems already. And I know there's going to be glitches, there always are when you roll something new out, but just the caring of the staff. I have a middle schooler and a high schooler, and I've said this before in the air, but I got calls from both the middle school and the high school from teachers that our kids have that were just going over, you know, simple questions. Do you have what you need to be successful as an e-learner? Do you, do you need any mental health services from our counselors? What can we do? What is a good way to communicate with you? I mean, it just really, really was so kind. And I thought, you know what? Mm-hmm. Everyone is in the same boat. And here these wonderful teachers are bending over backwards for our kids. It just really made me feel so good. And I know a lot of parents are kind of panicking how they're going to make this work. But can you explain to them? It really is pretty, not regimented, but there's a system to it. And if we follow the system, we should be successful.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be learning for all of us. I mean, our district had been working on a distance learning plan for snow days after last year and how many days we ended up having to cancel. But that was initially just for, you know, one or two days here and there, not for a long-term thing like what we're looking at right now. And so I will say that in this process, I have been incredibly impressed with the leadership in our district. And I mean, just their ability to look at all aspects of this and really be working on how we can equitably provide education to all of our students and what that would look like. And so it's going to look different at every level, because the elementary schools are going to have probably less that they can do online than, say, the high school could be doing. And so just really how each of the different sections of our district are trying to figure out what will work best for those ages and how to make this work, I think is really great. I know that my kiddo is in first grade, and their teacher is working with parents to have packets on paper, and there's a pickup time where they'll be able to go in and pick up like a substantive stack of papers to be working on as well, in case for some reason we run out of devices and aren't able to get them to all the kids at the elementary levels. But the district is really working hard to make sure every kid has the device that they need, that we can get Wi-Fi. What would that look like? How can we get, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots to different locations and things like that. And so I've been very impressed with the work our district has been putting in. And I think it'll be a learning curve, but I think we'll all figure it out. So I think I'm in kind of a unique position with this, because one of my children is homeschooled already and one of them is not. And so as a reluctant homeschooler and someone who has always been kind of nervous about that role, I get it. And you can do it.
That's what we need to hear. Thank you.
you can do it, you know, and if you have a question about what's being taught and you don't quite understand it, there are so many fantastic resources at your disposal online that you can type it in and they'll come up with a cool way for you to explain it to kids. Even if you think you can't do it, I promise you, you can. No matter what level your kiddo is at, you can figure it out and you will be able to get the resources you need. And I know our teachers will be there to support you too. And I think that should be very reassuring to you. You can do it.
Well, I love that. I might have to call you because you seem to have great confidence. I don't have as much confidence in myself helping our kids with their advanced learning. But so, Kelsey, tell us a little bit, if you can, about how it's going to be structured.
Some of it is still kind of in flux. The idea will be that at least, you know, like at the elementary level, we use a program called Seesaw. And so the teachers will be posting assignments to be working on through that. And when students sign on to complete assignments, they'll be marked as attended. And so that's really important that the district is going to have to take attendance every day in order to get reimbursed for these days by the state. And so when you sign on, when you log on, when you do your work through whichever site you're with and whichever platform they'll be using, we'll be taking attendance through that. And so it is really important that you're able to do that. And if you can't do it during the school day, because maybe your parents are critical employees and they're not there to help you or to work on it, if you do it later in the day, it will still be backdated to count as attended. It is really important that you get on there, that you do the work, that you keep up, and really trying to keep as much of a schedule as you can. That this should not be permanent. And so the more we can create a schedule for our kiddos now, the easier it will be to ease them back into the typical school process when we do go back.
I think that's good advice, to try to keep it as positive as possible. I would recommend maybe still getting up, taking a shower, getting your quote-unquote school clothes on, you know, and really approaching it like that. Is that what you do with mm-hmm. your homeschooler?
Yes and no. Abby has to be flexible around when I have meetings, and so some days our days are a little weird, but we do usually, as soon as we drop kid off at school, we come back and we do Abby's school, unless we have a weird meeting mixed in the morning and then we have to push it back a little bit. But we do try to keep as much of a schedule as possible, just so that she knows what to expect for the day. And in general, it's once you're done with your schoolwork, that's when we can start to do fun stuff. You know, the more focused you are and the better able you are to get your work done, the sooner you're done with your work and can go read a book, which for Abby is like the best part of her day.
Mm.
But the sooner she can read a book, the sooner we can play a board game or do a puzzle or whatever. And so that's usually their motivation, is just that the kids want to get their work done so that they can go do something else.
Kelsey, you have a lot going on. Thank you so much. And we really, really appreciate the fact that you called in today. Kelsey Waits, she is the chairman of the Hastings Public School Board. She also has been working so diligently on the superintendent search. And we appreciate the update she gave us with the six candidates moving forward. And also, we want to thank her for all the work with distance learning. And we hope you stay in touch, because we can't wait to hear about how some of these things shake out.
Absolutely.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.